Day 93, Monday, February 6th, Exodus 16. Exodus 16 1-36 NKJV. And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, "At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we, that you complain against us?" Also Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us but against the Lord." Then Moses spoke to Aaron, "Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints." Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God." So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there, on the surface of the wilderness, was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, some more, some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, "Let no one leave any of it till morning." Notwithstanding they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was, on the sixth day, that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said, tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains, to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See. For the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna. And it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Then Moses said, This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it, to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And Moses said to Aaron, Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it, and lay it up before the Lord, to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony, to be kept. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years, until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. Now an omer is 1/10 of an ephah. Daily deep dive. Verse 1 states that they came to the wilderness of sin. This should not be confused with sin as in the mistakes and errors we make in obeying God. This wilderness of sin is a completely different word, sin. Brown Driver Briggs Dictionary states this word means thorn or clay and is the tract of wilderness between Elam and Sinai. Also notice, that they left Egypt on the 15th of the first month and it's now, the 15th of the second month. Verse 2, again, I want you to try to put yourself in the sandals of the Israelites. Imagine that it isn't just about your physical needs, but also that of your loved ones, children that are dependent on you, or family members young and old that are struggling with thirst and hunger. It's natural that this would be difficult and even scary as days stack together and needs seem to go unmet. With God's Holy Spirit working with each of us, we hope we would turn to God and call out to Him to intervene on our behalf. The children of Israel did not have God's Spirit and they began to complain. Verse 4, I don't see any criticism of God for their words of verse 3. It seems to me that God is compassionate understanding how difficult this is on them. He responds to their needs. Again, we see God say that He will test, or prove, these people by seeing if they will obey Him. Verse 7, sometimes people complain against man, but their complaints are really against God. What do we complain about that God has the power to change and so far hasn't? We should instead pray to God about our concerns, etc., and remember it is He who has all power to change any situation. Verse 12. In verse 3 they complain that they used to have meat and bread. God now shows His tremendous miraculous power by pouring out both meat and bread on the people. How can we limit God? God has no limits. Verse 14 tells us that this bread was small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. The Hebrew word translated round substance is only used here in the Bible and it simply means to peel, flake off. Verse 15, the children of Israel call this substance that peels slash flakes off manna, KJV, which in Hebrew means what is it? BDB. Verse 16, we should pause and understand another principle demonstrated here in this miracle. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10 it tells us, If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. We see this principle contained in various proverbs as well. Compare Proverbs 13:4, 12:11. God could have made it so that the manna piled up at the door of each person in the exact amount each person needed. However, God made it that they had to work to get food. If they didn't work, they had no food. Verse 18. This verse is quoted by Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 8:1315 to show that we should all look out for and care for each other's needs. If we have more than enough, we should share with those who have less than they need. Josephus records the following, And very earnest they were in gathering it, but they were enjoined to gather it equally, the measure of an omer for each one every day, because this food should not come in too small a quantity, lest the weaker might not be able to get their share, by reason of the overbearing of the strong and collecting it. However, these strong men, when they had gathered more than the measure appointed for them, had no more than others, but only tired themselves more in gathering it, for they found no more than an omer apiece, and the advantage they got by what was superfluous was none at all, it corrupting, both by the worms breeding in it, and by its bitterness. So divine and wonderful a food was this. And, so we find another important principle of God here. If we do our part, work hard and obey God, then God can make all grace abound toward us where the little we have is enough for our needs, and on the flip side, if we are greedy for more than our share in life and don't follow God's principles, tihing, etc., while we may think we have more, we will end up having no financial advantage. Verse 20 shows the importance of following God's instructions and that God builds in consequences for not following what he instructs. Verse 21, it's interesting to me that it was required to get up early in the day and begin working to gather the manna. If someone put it off, or was lazy, it melted and they had nothing. I think there is an important principle for us there too. Verse 22, this chapter is just loaded with principles. Here we are shown by God that there is preparation for the Sabbath that we are supposed to plan for and think about, and that failing to plan and prepare is contrary to his intent for this special day. 23, Shabbathon, H 76-77, noun, holy Shabbath, H 76-76, Shabbath, H 76-73, verb Gen 2-2, 3. You'll remember from our study of Genesis 2 that right away in the first week, on the seventh day, God rested, Hebrew verb Shabbath. God went on in verse 3 of Genesis 2 to bless and sanctify that seventh day. The holy Sabbath was created in week 1 and remained blessed and sanctified from that point forward. Here in Exodus 16:23, we see a special sentence where God says, tomorrow, the seventh day of the week, is a Shabbathon, Sabbath observance, noun, BDB, of the holy Shabbath, Sabbath, noun, BDB. Each of these words are closely connected in the Hebrew. Sabbath observance comes from Sabbath, noun, which comes from the Sabbath verb of Genesis 2:2, Shabbatho and a Shabbath, a Shabbath. If you look at the actual Hebrew of the noun and verb forms, you will see the only difference is the speck in the middle of the second character. When we fast forward to Hebrews 4:9 in the New Testament, the author of Hebrews boldly sets forth, there remains therefore a sabbatismos for the people of God. This word sabbatismos is translated by the NKJV rest, but the author of Hebrews uses a different word for rest throughout Hebrews, and only here, to make a very strong conclusive point, changes the Greek word to sabbatismos. Sabbatismos in the Greek means a keeping Sabbath, Thayer's dictionary. Additionally, Thayer's will tell us that it is derived from the Greek word sabbaton, which means the seventh day Sabbath, Thayer. Thayer's also states that this Greek word sabbaton is of Hebrew origin from the word Shabbath. I take a lot of time to go through this because any argument that states the Sabbath was for the nation of Israel only is false. The Sabbath was created in week 1, was taught to the nation of Israel after being lost, and continues in place for God's people today, and eventually will be kept by all flesh in worshiping God. See Isaiah 66:23. Verse 24. Notice that for those who obediently followed God's instructions to prepare for the Sabbath, God performed a miracle and the manna did not breed worms and stink. When we obey God, God performs miracles still in the lives of his people. Verse 27. Some immediately disobeyed God and didn't prepare and properly observe the Sabbath. Verse 28. The Lord says, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Many people will tell you that God's law and commandments were given at Mount Sinai, But this is before that time, and God already says they are breaking his commandments and his laws. Verse 29, they are reminded that God has set apart the Sabbath, that they have 6 days to gather food, but on the seventh day, they are to not go out to gather food. Verse 30, so the people Sabbath, verb form, on the seventh day. Verse 31, people name the bread, what is it? AKA manna. Here's a section from the UCG reading plan. God provided his people with the nourishment that they needed. For their part, the Israelites were expected to be obedient to God's laws, which he was beginning to reveal to them. Indeed, take note here that this episode preceded the events at Mount Sinai, wherein the Israelites were presented with the Ten Commandments and entered into what is now called the Old Covenant. The evidence from scriptures such as Exodus 15:26 and Exodus 16:28, as well as others, for example, Genesis 2:3, Genesis 7:2, Genesis 26:5, prove that God's laws and statutes were in effect well before the Israelites even arrived at Mount Sinai. Thus, the Old Covenant is not what brought those laws into force. The fallacy argued by those who attempt to say that God's law was done away when the Old Covenant ended at Christ's death. Again, God provided the miracle of the manna not just to feed the people but to teach them to keep the Sabbath, see verse 29, to obey his law, verse 28, before the covenant at Mount Sinai, and he gave it as a test, verse 4. Even today, the Sabbath remains a real test commandment, one that really shows in a public manner who is fully committed to the way of God. Indeed, in today's society, others will readily accept us if we live according to a code of not stealing, not murdering, not committing adultery, not cursing God, etc. But keeping the Sabbath? That's another matter. That's just plain weird, some would say. Sabbath keepers have lost jobs and gone through all manner of other problems to observe the seventh day as God has commanded. In the end, though, their lives are always better for it, because keeping the Sabbath results in real blessing. Nevertheless, it sometimes takes real faith and courage to live by this conviction. No wonder the Sabbath is a true identifying sign of God's people, see Exodus 31:13, a visible badge that shows who is willing to walk in God's way no matter what the obstacles are. Of course, this is not to say that everyone who observes the Sabbath is truly committed to God. It could be a pretense, as it was for most of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Still, the Sabbath is an important outward sign that God has given to his people. And in today's society, it is a real test commandment. Are you passing God's test? Even those of us who already know to observe God's Sabbath should regularly examine whether we are properly keeping it. See Isaiah 58:13-14. And, verse 35, we don't always think about how long they ate manna, 40 years. Day after day God poured out a miracle to care for their daily needs. God promises that if we seek first his kingdom, he will see to our daily needs too. Matt 6:33.